You're listening to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide with Bart Zandbergen, your distinguished host and certified financial planner.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. With me today is my esteemed partner, Tisha Birbaum. Tisha, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me in the studio. Appreciate it.
Sure. So, Paul, my understanding is we have quite a few questions that we're going to address today.
I have one answer before we get to the questions, and the answer is, how can people hear this show? You're on iHeartRadio now. How about that?
Yay!
So excited to be able to have a great reach, to be able to...
Seeing the crowd out there watching, they're all excited right now here.
Wow. Thank you!
So, yes, we periodically, compile questions that we've gotten from a variety of sources. Some have been emailed in, some have been Facebook, some have even been Instagram here. And you seem to be getting a lot of them. You seem to be touching a nerve here. So, whatever you're doing, you're getting people to reach out and say, okay, well, tell me about this one. And so, if you're ready, I got a whole bunch of them. We'll see how many we can get through in our mailbag here today.
Sure. Letitia, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
All right, somebody named, just first names only, please, here.
Okay.
Someone named Amy wrote in and said, I'm getting ready to sell my company for around $18 million. Sounds like a lot.
Congratulations.
But she's concerned that after taxes and everything is said and done, it will not be enough money to retire and maintain her lifestyle. What do you say? I'm assuming she must be young then, because she's wearing... I'm reading into this. I don't know. Reading between the lines. But $18 million seems like it would take care of me for the rest of my life, but maybe not.
Well, that's a very good point. The answer is, it all depends.
Yeah, right.
So true. But
depends on lifestyle. Depends on...
Age, right.
It's, the question I would ask back to Amy is, has the deal been inked yet? Because there are ways to perhaps reduce the taxes, or at least defer and or stretch out the taxes if you do what's called an installment sale.
So there's other ways other than just I hand you a check and you hand me the keys?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Yeah, and even though that number sounds like it's a very large number, there's still all the taxes and everything else that are associated with it, that the take home is always substantially smaller, but it always starts with a nice big number.
So let's just say for a second that the deal's in place and there was no really significant planning. At the very least, it's going to be capital gains. Mm-hmm. And if it's in California, which is another question, and I'm sorry to have to ask questions on top of questions to a question, but that's relevant too, because California has a very high state tax.
Mm-hmm.
So capital gain state, capital gain fed, 35-ish%, 36%. So $18 million just got whacked down to... Still a nice number, what, $11.5 to $12 million.
And how do they calculate capital gains? Let's say I created this business right here, I start with zero, or I start with whatever the capitalization. I put a certain amount of money into it, and then that $18 million is all cap gain then, on top, assuming that they didn't put much into it to get started or whatever.
So let's keep it simple. And yes, if we keep those assumptions, yes. So there is something called basis. So if you've added money to your principal that you started the business with, and that would increase your basis. And we'll just assume in Amy's case that there was zero
right.
basis, and that happens. So the next question is, okay, so let's say we've netted down to 12. And Amy, I'm sorry if this isn't exactly your scenario, but you can contact us if not. So then, what is your lifestyle like? What is it now? What do you want it to be? Letitia and I have had clients that have gone both ends of the gamut. Those that have just gone nuts, and it's cars and houses and boats, and that, $12 million can get spent down very, very rapidly. Matter of fact, there are many studies that say, newfound money, whether it's lottery or inheritance, I will say less likely with selling of a company, because someone has worked very hard and feels some connection to the money that they've earned. But, and I know I'm sidebarring, but found money, usually within 3 years, that money is gone.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Just burn through all of it.
Just burn through.
And doesn't it have to go to the question I always bring up to you guys? How long does it have to last? I'm in my 60s, so maybe a couple million dollars is all I need, no matter what my lifestyle is. Who knows how many years I got left here. But if you're Letitia's age, I don't know how you figure that out. It's, you know, she's got 100 years left here. She's got a long time.
Yeah, so we always assume, that's a great question as well, on top of that, I always assume at least age 90, 95, just because you don't know what that looks like in your future. There's a lot of miscellaneous expenses that can come up. But in general, you want to understand what's your lifestyle. So kind of really looking at your cash flow and figuring out what does that look like now? And then you kind of have to basically look and see where you want to go. And if you maintain the same lifestyle, what does that cost now? And then you add on the extra pieces, like, do I want to have investment properties, or do I want to have travel, or do I want to give gifts? Do I want to do charity? It really just depends. Do you want to start another business?
Right.
All these other questions, then start compounding from there. But I would say the most important thing at this point in time, if you just, you know, if you feel like you need to, you don't know if that's going to be enough for you, is you need to be having a team with you. And that team can be like your wealth manager. It can be your CPA. It's your attorney. And everyone together is your supporting team and their branches to be able to help you through this journey, to be able to figure out where do you want to be in 5, 10, 20 years from now. And then let's figure out how to get there with the resources that you do have.
And let's make sure we get that disclosure in there. You're not CPA. So anything
Correct.
You're talking about here is just, you know, for educational purposes only, mere speculation here.
Yeah.
But you really provide the role of what then in the team? Who are you? Are you the team captain? Are you the quarterback?
We call ourselves the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, to use that analogy. Because we're helping to coordinate all the different professionals or players in the game, if you will. We're helping to call the plays. And we're helping to keep it organized.
And do you recruit the team for them, or do you work with their team? And is that ever an issue when you walk on the field and there's already a few players there? Who's this guy?
We do both. And really, our job is to be able to, you know, play nice. At the end of the day, it's to really help, you know, the Amy's out there to be able to really make sure that her specific goals and values and what she wants is the end result.
All right. Well, Amy continues. She had two more. I guess she got one in. She's going to see if she can get two more in here, too. You know, where would she invest this money? Where would you recommend? Again, I know you're not giving investment advice here today.
Yeah, be careful.
But what kinds of things should she be looking at? Should it be something that's produced income? Is it something that's going to double or triple over time? Stocks, equities, real estate, something like that. And what would you think is an acceptable return? I know it depends on how long and what you want to do, but what kind of returns should she be shooting for?
So I'll start there, and I'm sorry to be OCD. I'm going to add one more thing to the previous question, and then I'm going to go on to these.
Okay.
So another really important factor that many people don't factor in is what does the end game look like? And Paul, what prompted this thought was your comment just a moment ago.
Yeah.
Is there a legacy that Amy may want to leave behind? Mm-hmm. And or, this is a cliche, but it's kind of funny, do you want the last check that you ever write to the mortuary to bounce?
Yes,
so
exactly.
Those are two completely different planning strategies.
And I've seen both.
Yeah, we have both. But, you know, in a perfect world, you would want the amount that you take out or your withdrawals to be less than the percent that the money grows.
Right.
And kind of the rule of thumb in our world is a 2% delta. Right. So I'm gonna.
What's delta?
I was gonna say you should explain that.
Mm-hmm. The difference, okay, yeah. Which means, and this is just purely an example. What if we earned 6% and you and Amy was taking out 4%? So that way, each year, her nest egg or portfolio grows by 2%, which mm-hmm. means she gets a 2% raise on her withdrawals, which means she's pretty much keeping up with inflation. Mm-hmm. And then there's a legacy at the end of the game.
Can I ask one other question? And again, I'm just looking at this from the opposite end, probably, than Amy. I'm assuming she's young enough. Maybe I don't know. Maybe Amy's my age here. But I'm assuming that she's younger just from the tone of the questions. If you're older like me, how do I, or even Amy, how do you know what a dollar's worth in 20 years? And I'll give you a perfect example. My father was an executive with Chrysler Corporation, a vice president. And he stuck around for 40 years because he didn't think he could give up that retirement. When it finally came out, he was, he was making $50,000 a year, when that was a hell of a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly his retirement was based on 1960s, 1970s dollars here. And he thought, oh, my God, I should have left and gone somewhere else and got bigger salaries and other things here. I'm hanging around for something that wasn't worth it when it was finally time to cash it in. He was getting $2,000 a month or something here. He didn't know what a dollar was going to be worth.
Yeah.
He didn't know what that.
So, first of all, a good advisor, because the advisor is going to prepare, you know, in simplest terms, a financial plan. You can call it a financial roadmap, whatever you'd like to call it. But that maps out, and what it does include is inflation, right? Mm-hmm. So what, you know, what a loaf of bread costs today is going to be different in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. And the plan will inflate the items that need to be inflated and not those that don't. For example, for the most part, property tax, mortgage payment, you know, and like a flat interest. So that's how you know, Paul, is by planning it out, strategizing to make sure that what you think is enough today is going to be enough tomorrow.
And we have a growth factor we add to it when we do our planning of the actual expenses as well. So we assume that a normal expense is going to go up as well and how much they're going to actually spend. So you have to look at both aspects. So sometimes these numbers can get really big, but like you said, we need to be able to take in consideration of where we might be in 10, 20, 30 years.
So are you looking for fixed income types of things? That's what I'm so leery of that I don't have in my life, like my father had, that retirement, that pension. And yet, he worked so long and so hard for it and forego other entrepreneurial opportunities where maybe he could have made more money just to stay with the corporation to get the retirement that in the end wasn't much, as it turned out.
Yeah, so I feel like what we do is we provide the peace of mind for our clients. So we work with an investment committee, and that's very important to what we do. We actually pick out the specific funds and investments and allocation that's right for your specific needs or your risk level. And we kind of figure out, you know, what do you really need to achieve? Maybe it is, like what he said, only 4% or 5% to be able to sustain your lifestyle. And if that's the case, then we create a portfolio to be able to meet those needs. And we create a diverse portfolio as well. So maybe it does include other areas in your portfolio overall.
So you brought up the other key one that you guys all throw out so casually. It's always in every conversation, according to your risk level. I don't know my risk level. My risk level is zero. I don't want to lose any of it.
So there's, and you could be. But there's what Letitia's referring to, at least in our office, is called a family index.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is going to answer your question as well, Paul. So, the family index is the return that one needs to make in order to have a successful retirement, financial independence, whatever you want to call it. And we've had some clients recently that have had similar situation to Amy. And once we did their plan, now the risk, take your risk tolerance out of it completely just for a second. So take it completely out. What
right.
we determined from this financial plan was all they need to earn is 4% per year, meaning they could live off of 2% of the portfolio. This was a pretty handsome liquidation event. 2%. We earn 4, and they have a life beyond anything they would ever imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, regardless of your risk tolerance, why would we recommend or why would we go into investments that have high risk when you don't need it?
Yeah.
Right?
It's a good point.
Unless, you know, one is a gambler. Now you're getting into a risk profile. I think people want to have fun. They want to gamble or whatnot. But our point to them, and they've all listened, was, look, this is all you need. So we've had a very steady, very, for lack of a better term, kind of not exciting, non-sexy allocation.
Predictable. And we all want predictability. And none of us knows the future. So.
Right.
Okay. All right. You want to take a break? You want to keep going?
We can keep on going.
Let's go.
Let's keep on
Let's
going.
Do this.
So no break today here. Let's just keep going. We've got a lot of questions to answer. That's why I brought it up, because we've got a lot of them here today. I don't think we're going to get to all of them today here. And
that's
by the way, if anybody does have any questions, how should they reach out to you? Do we know that?
Yeah, so they can email us, and then they can also, we're on our Instagram and Twitter and all that, so it's fun. But I'd say right now the easiest way is email and Instagram. And Bart, do you want to give them your email?
It's bart@optivestinc.com.
And mine is Letitia@optivestinc.com.
And spell Letitia.
Letitia at Optivest Inc.
And Optivest, 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 all right.
And then Inc, INC.com.
Inc, OptivestInc.com, all right.
Yep.
So you too, if you're listening now or later, I don't care if this is 3 years or 3 minutes from now, you've got a question. Hey, they're going to do more of these shows, and if we get a good response, we'll do a lot more of these shows. Because I think this is really where the rubber meets the road. You guys are always advising. Everybody I listen to in these shows has lots of great advice, but how do you put it into practice? And how do you answer these questions that I feel like nobody but me, I don't want to ask it, I'm so stupid, I don't know this, but you probably heard them all. Here's one. Have you heard this one before?
Okay.
Nick says, I have a healthy estate. and I've worked really hard for many, many years. Now I'm trying to figure out how I can prepare my kids. I don't want to just give it to them. Ooh, wow. The Bill Gates question. You know, how much is enough to leave your kids here?
Well, Letitia has done a lot of work in this and her side of the practice, so I'm going to let her lead on this one.
No, it's actually, I think it's a great question. We've had several guests recently that came in and shared their own personal experiences doing this. And I feel like we hear this as well from many clients. And I would say at the end of the day, the most important thing is to really get your kids involved in the beginning and really have them take interest. Now, that's probably nice to say in theory, but I also hear a lot of times from clients that the kids don't want to take over their practice, so they don't want to go in get involved with that. But I would still encourage them to see what you're doing and follow that process, because there's some really great tips that they can still apply to whatever field that they do decide to go after.
Who was the guest that came in here, the older gentleman, and he had so many tips? You looked at him as sort of a mentor. I forgot his name.
Mark.
So give us that episode. What was that guy's name? They should go back and listen to that one. Because he really talked about getting your kids involved and incentivizing them from an early age to start thinking about money.
Yep.
And I'll match it if you do this. And I'm going to give you some stock. When some kid graduated from middle school, he gave him some stock. And the kid's like, what am I going to do with this stuff? Yeah.
So that was actually Jim.
Jim
O'Sullivan. Yeah, he was great. And he was definitely someone that's been a mentor in my life for many years. And you know, he's looked at all different aspects. So investing in real estate, investing in businesses, and in the stock market. And so a lot of different areas that he's
been able to
dabble
in. Got his kids when they came out of college to buy a house.
These are his grandkids.
Inexpensive house. And they built it up. And then they flipped that into a bigger one. And it turned it into a whole little sub-fortune.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see this all the time. But I think it's the same process as what he did. He was able to actually share practices and not just give them, you know, for example, he gave them stock for one of their graduations. And instead of saying, okay, here's your stock in XM Radio, what he actually did is said, okay, you know, what's the face value? What's the ticker symbol? What does this mean? What is the company, you know, cap rate? All these fun things that, you know, maybe I might know because this is what I do for a living and I love it. But he's teaching them instead of just giving them.
And I think they had to answer some of the questions.
They did.
This was like a promissory note. Yeah. I will give this if you pass the test and tell me what all this stuff is.
Yeah.
There's another practice one of my clients does that, and he's wealthy, there's no question about it, and could buy his kids whatever, anything they want.
Yeah.
But he does the 50-50. You want a car, an 18-year-old, I'll match you 50 cents on the dollar. Whatever you want to buy, I'll match you 50 cents. He wants them to have skin in the game. He wants them to know what it's like to have to work for something, and I admire that.
My father did that. I hated him for it deeply in the beginning, but I graduated from high school. We lived in an upper middle class neighborhood. We weren't wealthy, but we certainly weren't poor. And he came to me, and I'm getting ready to go to college, and he never went to college, and he said, how are you going to pay for this? I said, what do you mean? Look around. We're doing good. And he said, well, I could pay for it, but I'm not going to. I'll match you 50-50. And I thought, well, how the hell am I going to earn enough money to pay for college at that time? It was back in the 70s. Which was a fraction of what it is today. But he said, I got your job working down on the assembly line. I said, the assembly line? There's poor people down there, and there's scary rats and stuff. He said, that's where I started, and that's where you're going to start. So made me go do that. All my friends thought he was the worst father in the world. Let's just, you know, give me the money. But it made me appreciate what I was doing.
Yeah.
It's a whole different feeling.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think about, just as an aside, you know, Bill Gates has promises kids they're not going to get the $100 billion. How much? Because he feels that it would actually harm them, it would ruin them to just hand somebody that much money. How do you feel about that? I mean, it isn't just you're being Scrooge and you got to work hard like I did, kid, and you got to get appreciation for it. You give somebody too much money too fast, you can actually ruin their lives.
So I agree with you. I think Letitia does as well. But at the end of the day, it's not our job to make those decisions for our clients. We spend an extensive amount of time understanding what their goals and values are, and we have interviewed clients that is what their life goal is. I had a client say this once. It blew me away. I don't want my kids to ever have to work a day in their life. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't agree with that. I'll just leave it at that, period. But, you know, it's not our job to make those kind of value decisions for our clients.
Right.
So I want to add two things. One, on my own personal aspect, my parents made me get involved as a kid, and so I feel like I had value and appreciation for what I had, and I learned a lot from that lesson. And also, what we do here in our practice is we have, you know, family meetings as well. So if we want the families to come in and start talking about how they're going to transfer that and what those goals are and what that looks like for the family overall, that's something that we do offer.
And how do you decide who gets what? We used to do a show on family offices. And little Timmy, he's worked hard. He should get a lot. And his brother Joe, he's a bum. He's a cocaine addict. He's a problem,
oh,
you know, and whatever here. And do I give Cain and Abel the same amount of money here?
And we work through the with the family.
Yeah, and I know if I give Timmy his money, he's going to, well, I forgot which Joe his money or whatever, the bad one, the bad seed the money, he's going to blow it. If I give the good seed the money, he'll multiply it here. So
yeah. not easy.
Okay, now we got one more. I think we got time for here. This one's more my speed here. This guy writes, what's his name, Ty.
Okay.
Ty says he's 52 years old and he has a gross revenue of $500,000. What retirement plan would you suggest he look at to maximize retirement savings? I'm assuming he doesn't want to just start drawing down. He wants to keep accumulating over time here.
Yeah. So, because you gave us a copy of the questions, I see he's a doctor.
Yes.
So, one question I have to ask back is, okay, Dr. Ty, are you a sole practitioner, meaning do you have any employees, and or is your spouse an employee, meaning more like an independent contractor, and or do you work in a group? So, from the tone of the question, it sounds to me like he's probably a sole practitioner, working by himself.
That's what I'd take out of it.
Which is great. Ty, you're in a great position because there are limitations on normal retirement plans, basically all retirement plans, that basically what you do for one, you must do for all of the others.
Mm.
So in this case, it's just Ty. So there's something called a defined benefit plan. You described, Paul, that your father had a pension. It's a complete, we're running out of time, but it's a completely different calculation. But if we did a defined benefit plan for Ty, he would probably be able to do somewhere in the neighborhood of $200,000 to $250,000 pre-tax, if you know he so chose, in this plan, planning for a future income from that. So
each
that
year.
Each year. So that means he only pays tax, with everything else notwithstanding, on only half of his earnings. So that's a great strategy. It's a great strategy, and I think another subject,
we should do a show on that, because I've heard that term bantied about. Is that a fairly new program? Has it been around a long time?
Or? It's been around since your father and before it's aerospace, government.
Yeah, see, I don't think nobody ever brought that up or talked about that before. I've heard the term bantied about, but I guess I don't understand how it's different than just a pension or how it's set up differently. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope that... well, that was interesting. So we kind of ran the gamut from what do I do with my kids to what do I do to make my money stretch out to how do I make the decisions right now today that are going to impact me 20 years from now, selling a business or setting up a defined benefit plan. Lots of decisions out there. I'm assuming one of the ways is get in touch with somebody like you. How do they do that?
Well, they could reach us at...
you act surprised. Well, please.
www.optivestinc.com.
Optivestinc.com. And there they can find it. And what do you guys do? A full range of services? Give us some quick overview. Well, is it just sitting down and strategizing? Do you help invest the money? Do you have other partner people you work with to help attorneys and all the other stuff to write all this stuff and craft all this stuff, or what do you do?
Yeah, so we're a full service registered investment advisory firm. That means we start to finish. We start with a financial plan covering all areas of tax planning, retirement planning, investment planning, risk management, and then we have the ability to implement. As investment advisors, we help our clients invest their money, we help with their risk management, and when it comes to legal or tax, we have what we call our A team, or people that we can refer to if the clients don't have their own people in place.
Well, you are certainly the answer, men and women, based on today's show. You didn't hesitate on any of these here. You got lots of answers. You must have, like they say in that one insurance commercial, we can do a lot because we've seen a lot.
It's so
sounds
true.
Like you guys have seen
that
a lot.
Is true.
Too. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Tune in each and every week. And send us your questions, please. Give us an email again. Where do they send the questions? If anybody wants to ask anything, we'll accumulate them and put them in a future show here.
That sounds great. So it's Letitia at OptivestInc.com.
And
tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our free shows by visiting www.bartzandbergen.com. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the Zandbergen Report? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com.